welcoming into the program an actress, author, film historian, contributor to TCM, the author of a wonderful recent book entitled Dynamic Dames, 50 Leading Ladies Who Made History. We're happy to be joined this afternoon by Sloane DeForest. Sloane, thanks so much for being with us.
Hi, Rich. It's great to be here.
Well, it's great to talk with you. You have had such an interesting life. You've done so many different things, and our great love for you, Sloane, may also be due to the fact that you're related to a great radio pioneer.
Yes, that's right. Lee DeForest, the father of radio, as I'm sure you know, and hopefully some of your listeners know, was my relative.
That is very, very cool. So how does one become a film historian, Sloane?
I haven't the slightest idea. I sort of fell into it, frankly. I always watched Turner Classic Movies, and I loved classic movies, and then I moved to Los Angeles 12 years ago, and in hopes of being, I was an actress and an aspiring screenwriter, and I ended up somehow realized that my knowledge of classic film and my ability to write about classic film was valuable, so here I am.
Well, it's wonderful, and you've written so well about it and have captured some great women of Hollywood and iconic roles as well in Dynamic Dames. And boy, it starts off with a bang, too. When you get a foreword by Julie Newmar, you know you're doing pretty well.
That's what I thought. Catwoman herself. I was really lucky to get that. She's amazing. She is a dynamic dame. So, yeah, that was a great way to start off the book, for sure.
Well, let's talk about a few of the women that you highlight in this book. And our first section is called Pre-Code Bad Girls. And for anybody who doesn't know, can you give us a brief primer on the film code?
Yes, the Hollywood Production Code had started in the, I guess in the late 20s, early 30s, but it wasn't really enforced until 1934. It was sort of a code that all the filmmakers and studios agreed to, like a self-censorship. You know, we won't have vulgar language, we won't have nudity, sexual scenes. There's a certain list of things that we couldn't do. And so the films, the talking pictures made like between 31 and 34, that code clamped down so hard on them. So they're pretty fun. They're a little bit racy.
Well, and in one of them, and one of the great roles, is Miss Barbara Stanwyck playing Lily Powers in the great 1933 film Babyface. Can you talk a little bit about what makes her such a dynamic dame in this film especially?
Yeah, one of my favorites. Barbara Stanwyck's an amazing actress with an amazing career, but Babyface was, I think, one of her earliest best roles. You know, she, if people haven't seen the movie, you have to see it. It must be seen to be believed. It's just, it's sort of in your face. She's a very sexy, very ambitious young woman. She's very poor. She grows up without, you know, a cent to her name. Her father dies. She has no one. She has nothing but her looks, and she uses them to basically sleep her way to the top and become a big success and become wealthy. But the way she does it is somehow, and this is a testament to Barbara Stanwyck's acting, but it's somehow done in a way that doesn't make us hate her. We're almost rooting for her, you know, to sleep her way to the top and not be punished for it.
Well, and I love
Barbara. Women often were punished, of course, in those days when they committed those kind of sins.
I love Barbara Stanwyck and everything she does. This film is great. She is in my favorite and arguably the greatest film noir of all time. She is so amazing in Double Indemnity. And much as I love Fred McMurray, yeah, I'm still kind of pulling for Phyllis in that one, too.
Even, right? Stanwyck could make you pull for her even when she was pretty nasty. So she was an incredible actress, and Babyface is a role that she actually co-created with Daryl Zanuck. I didn't realize that until I started researching the film, but she helped sort of write the character and shape the story herself, uncredited.
Now, a lot of modern-day film fans may not be familiar with the name, but to an earlier generation. Well, she was the it girl. Clara Bow is quite a fascinating story. And this movie that you highlight, Man Trap, certainly one of the most interesting in the early days of film.
I agree. I wanted to bring attention to that movie. It's a little bit below the radar, but I think it's her first breakout performance as the It Girl. She wasn't called the It Girl then. That came the following year in 1927 when she starred in the movie It. But here we see the It Girl, you know, the first Clara Bow, really sassy, kind of self-empowered young flapper that she just owns the screen. She kind of dominates all the men in the movie. So that's a great one too.
And the common theme in these women that you talk about in the book is this idea of, as you put it, being the architect of their own destiny.
Exactly. That was a stipulation. I wanted to write a book about these female characters who were the architects of their destiny, who were the heroes of their story. Not so much, you know, heroine is often applied to a woman lead, but I see these women more as heroes because they're not so much waiting around just for a man to rescue them. They're leading their own story in a way that's empowering, I think, for other women to see.
We're talking with Sloane DeForest here on Downtown. Quite often, too, women... it happens to men as well, I suppose, but women who are uncategorically beautiful sometimes aren't given enough credit for their acting chops, and there are a number of them in this book, and particularly in your chapter of real role models, whether it's Greta Garbo, Audrey Hepburn, Elizabeth Taylor, or one of my favorite actresses of all time, Natalie Wood.
Yes, Natalie Wood is one of mine as well. And I welcomed the opportunity to shed a little light on her. I also got to work on the What Remains Behind documentary that was just released this year to HBO.
And that was wonderful.
That was another opportunity. Oh, thank you. Yes, I think it turned out well. And it was a little glimpse behind the scenes, more at her personality, because she's often called, you know, very vulnerable, very sensitive, which she was. But she also was a powerhouse. Who was really in control of her career as one of the few top female stars of the 60s. She had a lot going for her in the brains department and behind the scenes managing her career. So she was one who doesn't get the credit, I think, as well for being such a talented actress and being so powerful because of her beauty.
From your perspective, what made her so powerful in Gypsy Rose Lee up against a pretty strong fellow actress as well in that one?
Yeah, I think she held her ground with Rosalind Russell, who's another dynamic dame in the book, as Hildy in His Girl Friday, of course, and Russell's great. But Natalie, she had the fire in her belly. She wanted to be a great actress. She took risks, and she, you know, made herself vulnerable in these roles. And she was also playing the real Gypsy Rose Lee, I think, and the two got to meet while they were working on the movie, and I think she wanted to do justice to that, because Gypsy Rose Lee was a fireball in her day, and she was a real groundbreaker. So you've got three amazing women, really, in that movie, one behind the scenes, the inspiration.
And you mentioned Rosalind Russell and His Girl Friday, which is just such a great film, and I can't imagine how many women through the years, and we've talked to some here, who went into working in journalism, they were so inspired by the character of Hildy Johnson.
I agree. She inspired me. I mean, I didn't go into a journalism career so much because of her, but just growing up watching the movie, what an inspiration. She's this career woman. She just, you know, she can sort of write circles around all the men in her office, and she's so funny. I mean, that's the thing that always gets me, you know, is the women who, because once a woman can really be funny and make you laugh, she can kind of get away with anything, I find, in the movies. And that's what Roz Russell does in His Girl Friday. She steals the movie practically from Cary Grant, and that was quite a feat.
In your section on Big Bad Mamas, some fairly, well, let's just say complex moms along the way in there. And starting with one of the great performances, I think, of all time in film, Joan Crawford, just so powerful in Mildred Pierce.
Yes, she was great. I mean, her only Oscar in a long career. was for that movie, and I feel that she earned it. She really wanted that movie, too. That was her big comeback. She hadn't made a film in 2 years, and she waited and waited until she found the right story, and that was it. And Michael Curtiz, the director, didn't want her in the part, so she had to really scrap and argue and fight and beg and plead her way into the role, and she just she nailed it. She nailed it. So she earned the Oscar in that. And then she's also got Anne Blythe and her daughter Vita giving an amazing performance as well. A lot of great women in that movie, with Eve Arden, too.
Anne Bancroft as Mrs. Robinson in The Graduate. Some brilliant moments. It's a funny movie, but her character has so much depth. There's so much sadness in her portrayal, and it's such a well-rounded performance.
I agree. It's really tragic. She's sort of a tragic character. It's so multi-layered in the film that we're almost, as I talk about in the book, we're sort of encouraged to sort of see her as the antagonist, you know, or the bad guy in a way. And then when you sort of step back and look at it and look at her, look at things from her perspective, there's more of a sadness in her that she's a little bit more of a victim, you know, and I think that that's what makes the movie. You're right, it's hilarious, but it also has something deeper than just humor that you can keep revisiting and finding out, discovering more things about it as you watch it.
When you talk about actresses and women in Hollywood who took control of their destiny, few have done it as well as Ida Lupino, incredibly talented actress, and you write about her work as Lily Stevens in Roadhouse, but then became really a force as a director as well in her own production company.
She did. She was literally the only actress to become a director in that whole era. We're talking about 40s, 50s, 60s Hollywood. She was the only one. She was the one single female member of the Directors Guild. And, you know, you got to really take your hat off to her, because she didn't have, I think, a lot of directors in those days. Well, they were all basically men, and they had a sort of apprenticeship. They could come into a studio as an assistant director and work their way up. She didn't have that advantage. There were no film schools in those days. She just stepped on a set one day and said, "I think I can do this." And so she's an inspiration to me as well.
Under Women of Mystery, you wrote about my favorite movie of all time, and great performances all around. Grace Kelly as Lisa Fremont in Rear Window, holding her own and then some with not just Jimmy Stewart, but a couple of great character actors in Wendell Corey and Thelma Ritter.
You are speaking my language, Rich, because that's one of my all-time favorite movies as well. Love Grace Kelly, love Lisa Fremont, and yeah, I agree. She holds her own in that movie. She sort of is the one who really solves the mystery. She becomes something of the protagonist. She's not just the pretty blonde girlfriend. She's amazing to me. And I found it interesting that John Michael Hayes, the screenwriter, really based the character on her. Because the character in the short story that the film is based on, I mean, there is no character. There is no Lisa. So she was created from scratch based on Grace Kelly's actual personality. So, you know, that's another point to make, is a lot of these women that are just interpreted, I think we see them just as pretty faces in these movies, actually had a lot of sway and a lot of power behind the scenes about what went on the screen.
And the dialogue between those two, between Jeff and Lisa, is just so good and so ahead of its time, I feel, for a film made in 1954.
Oh, I agree. It was very, I think that was Hitchcock. Well, John Michael Hayes, screenwriter, yes. He was amazing. I agree. It's a great script. It's a perfect script, really. But Hitchcock, I think, had, you know, this very dark sensibility about marriage, and that all comes through in this era of happily ever after. The 50s was all about, you know, the couple gets married in the end and they live happily ever after. Well, that couldn't have been more subverted in Rear Window. It does make it ahead of its time.
And when you talk about Hitchcock, we all know, well, people who love film know that behind the scenes, his best sounding board was his wife.
Oh, yes. Alma. She was a huge influence on his films. I mean, not only the editor, but as you said, the sounding board for his ideas and a contributor of ideas. So he definitely is one of the cases of a man who has a strong woman behind him.
Let's talk about a couple of more modern performances. And I don't know that anybody's ever taken hold of the screen and made it their own the way Angela Bassett did as Tina Turner in What's Love Got to Do with It?
Agreed. She was great. It's kind of, you know, I noticed when I was writing this book, which was in 2018, now it's been a couple of years, that her performance in that film had kind of fallen off the radar. So I was happy to be able to bring it back, you know, and remind people about it, because it was amazing. She did a great job in that movie. Tina Turner had an amazing life story to work with, but I agree that Angela Bassett brought it to life.
And then a fairly recent performance from just a few years ago, Mad Max Fury Road, and my gosh, Charlize Theron, like you'd never seen her before at that point.
Yes, she's another amazing contemporary actress who really goes out of her way to select strong and different and complex roles to play. She doesn't coast on her looks, especially in this movie. I mean, talk about not coasting on your looks. It was her idea to shave her head and have that black soot sort of look over her head. I mean, she couldn't be, you know, less the blonde bombshell that I think we were used to seeing. So she started her own production company specifically, you know, tailored to find strong roles for women. So it's great that she exists these days.
Well, if you haven't read it yet, check out Dynamic Dames. It is a wonderful tour of some of the great performances and talents in Hollywood history. Always look forward to seeing you when you're on TCM. It's been great talking with you today, Sloan. I hope maybe we can have you back as we get deeper into the fall and around Halloween and talk about one of your earlier books and take a look at science fiction.
Oh, I'd love to. That would be so much fun. I'm always up for a sci-fi discussion.
Fantastic. Sloan, thanks so much for being with us today.
Oh, thank you, Rich.
That's Sloan DeForest with us on Downtown. Visit her website at sloandeforest.com. Order the books, learn more information, and you'll love it.